this area out today.
Amen.
All right, Philippians chapter number 2. And we already did verse number 12, which was last week or the week before that. I should say, wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence. What does Paul say? Work out your own salvation. And we talked about Onesimus having to work out his newfound salvation, as well as Philemon having to work out his salvation as well. And then we have verse number 13. So let's quote that one together. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 13. All right. Let's say the reference of the verse and then the reference. Here we go. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. Father, thank you once again for your goodness in our lives. Lord, thank you that, Lord, you have encouraged us to work out our salvation. You've also told us you're working in us. You're working in us both to have the will and also to do of your good pleasure through the Spirit's power. And thank you that we have that ability. Now help us today, Lord, as we may be an Onesimus to someone. Oh, Lord, we may also have someone be an Onesimus towards us. God, either way it goes, we will need grace in our lives to exhibit grace to someone else. I thank you for loving us, Lord. Injustice is all around us. But help us today to glean a blessing, Lord, that when we are the ones that are guilty of being an Onesimus, we might access your grace. And then when someone is an Onesimus towards us, we may extend grace to them. Thank you again for loving us, Lord. Meet our need today. Work in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. All right, you are at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, but notice verse 14, do how many things without murmuring and disputing? Do all things without murmuring and disputing. So if someone does an injustice to you, how many of y'all are just jumping up and down to do it without murmuring and disputing? Nobody. We have a bit of murmur in us and complaint. What do we normally say? God, you just don't know how unfair it is. God, they did me an injustice. God, if I had my way, aren't you glad you don't get your way? If you had your way, let's say that by saying this. If you had your way, there'll be a lot of people in trouble.
Yes, sir.
But now let's flip the coin. If some other people had their way, you might be in trouble.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
So that coin goes both ways. Thank you, Brother Fred. Because if the truth be known, we have done an injustice towards somebody else in some way, shape, fashion, or form. Now, by the way, sometimes we do people an injustice and we don't even know it.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
That's what we do.
Just by the way we act, our mannerisms, sometimes the way we say some things, we may not mean anything by it, but just by the way we carry ourselves. And so it's always good to realize that you may be an Onesimus or somebody may be an Onesimus towards you. And the same grace that God extends to you, we need to extend to someone else. How many of y'all want God's grace?
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
All of us want it. Amen.
Yes, we do.
How many of us want to give it?
Amen.
They don't deserve it. Well, do we? You know, but oftentimes that's what we say. Brother Alfred King was talking about his personality. And he said he's one of the most easygoing and forgiving guys he knows until, he says, until he gets behind the wheel, he transforms. And he says when he gets behind the wheel, it's everybody else's fault. They cut him off. They're not going fast enough. He said, whatever it is. And he said, his wife told him, you are one of the most easygoing guys I know until you get behind that wheel. And then you transform into somebody that I don't know. Amen. And all of us are like that. And by the way, I'm one of the most easygoing guys until you leave a mess. When you leave a mess, man, I pop a gasket. I mean, the screws, the bolts come off, the hinges, and I have a fit. That is not supposed to be there. Pick that up. That is out of order. And I mean, I just blow a gasket. I just burst at the seams. But most other things don't bother me. What I eat doesn't bother me. What I'm going to drink doesn't bother me. What I'm going to wear doesn't bother me. You know, car doesn't bother me. But let something be out of place. Oh, my soul. I can't function right. And don't let me see something whilst I'm preaching. Just like, I can't wait till this sermon is over so I can get down there and move that. I see a piece of paper. It's like, that paper is driving me up the tree. I'm just that way. I was walking with Pastor White earlier today. He was talking with me. About every few steps, I stopped and picked up something. Pastor White probably said, what's wrong with Pastor? I'm like that. It bugs me to see stuff like that. It's out of place. And praise God for Jesse. When he was here, I told him about that. He was vacuuming and things like that. He said, I want to keep it nice for you, Pastor. Thank God for him. Amen. But all of us have that thing that sets you off. For some of y'all, it may be eating. Now, if you don't eat at the prescribed time, Joshua is going to start turning into Dr. What's the bad guy? Jekyll or Hyde? Who's the bad one? Joshua's going to turn to Mr. Hyde if he don't eat. The tapeworm starts talking to him, and I mean, he just gets that look like, if we don't get some food, it's going to be over real soon, you know. And so everybody's got that thing, and, you know, when people do us an injustice, for you, it may be that thing, you know. And it all depends on what that injustice is. Now, for me, the injustice is when you don't clean up after yourself. That's the thing that sets me off. Now, you may do something else, and it's not going to rub me as bad. But that rubs me. That rubs me. My wife's been married to me, and I haven't changed on that particular area. One of the conditions for marrying her, and now y'all may think this is odd, I said, you must be neat. Remember that, honey? I was on one of my lists of characters that I wanted in my wife. You must be neat. Why? I'm not going to marry someone that I got to pick up after. And if my wife had her list, she probably would put the same thing down. You must be neat. But she didn't have a list, so she got stuck with me. Amen. So. But amen. Injustice is going to happen. If you didn't get an injustice done to you this past week, you're going to get one today. If you didn't get one today, you're going to get one the upcoming week. Okay? She had a mental list, amen. Checking them off. Yeah, that one, amen. All right, so praise the Lord. He's neat, so I don't have to worry about that one. All right, so let's go back over here real quick. The reality of injustice was Roman numeral 1. The reality of injustice, Roman numeral 1. The reality. And what was that reality? It wasn't fair for Onesimus to be a slave. It wasn't fair for Philemon to have a slave run away. It wasn't fair for Paul to be in jail for preaching the gospel. So they all had an injustice. And then we saw, A, Onesimus was considered an unprofitable servant. Unprofitable means worthless or useless. All of us have either been in that predicament when we have been worthless or useless feeling, or we have had someone that we felt was worthless or useless. So we've been on both sides of that coin. B, Onesimus was saved but still suffering. Just because you and I get saved, God does not guarantee you the red carpet treatment. Amen. On the contrary, we get the bad carpet treatment sometimes. Amen. When are we going to get the red carpet treatment? In heaven. Amen. So we have something waiting for us. And then Roman numeral 2, revelation of Christian grace. The revelation of Christian grace. By the way, we cannot remove the wrongs and injustices towards us, but we can use the injustices for an opportunity to show grace to someone else. By the way, were we unjust towards God?
Oh, yes.
Did God use that opportunity to show us grace?
Yes.
He did, Pastor. He did. A, then, how are we going to do that? Love every believer in Christ. Mm-hmm. Love every believer in Christ. Yep. By the way, there's always somebody going through a hardship.
Yep. Amen.
Think about the people in Houston.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
Think about the folks down in South Carolina, where Tasha was supposed to have been in South Carolina today or yesterday.
Yes.
Yesterday, her trip had to get canceled because of Hurricane Irma. South Carolina, Florida, Georgia, all those folks are bracing. Puerto Rico, a lot of the Caribbean islands were just devastated. You look around, you say, well, whose fault was that? Well, it wasn't their fault that a hurricane came. These folks that have lost their homes and, things are underwater. It wasn't their fault, but yet it still happened. So love every believer in Christ. There's always someone going through a hard situation, and we have the responsibility to love everybody. By the way, we will all have our Onesimuses to love.
Yep.
There's going to be somebody that's going to do an injustice towards you, so we're all going to have our Onesimuses. Amen? And then B, encourage every believer in Christ. Encourage every believer in Christ. Not only are we going to have our Onesimuses, we may be a Philemon. Amen? We got people in our lives who may be suffering, like those folks in Houston and all these other areas. Amen. And we must look for ways to encourage the brethren. Then one, we saw what Paul was encouraging Philemon to do. Review him as profitable. Look at Onesimus now in a different light. Look at him through the eyes of Christ. He's saved now. And the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? New creature. Now, why could Paul say this? Go back in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Why could Paul say this? 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, there's a something that Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And notice verse number, where is he at here? 11. Is that the one I want? Yes. He says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark. Now, what Mark is that? Anybody know what Mark that is?
John Mark.
The writer of the Gospel of Mark, but also the same Mark that left Paul on the missions field when Barnabas had to take John Mark and go that way, and Paul took Silas and went that way. And the Bible says that the contention between Barnabas and Paul was so severe that they had to part ways over this man, John Mark. Now, what happened? Paul saw him as unprofitable. He saw him as useless. It said because he went not with them to the work. Now, if you're working, don't you want somebody else to work along with you? Or you want them to twiddle their thumbs and eat bonbons and kick their feet up? You don't want someone, if you're doing some work, the last thing you want is for the person that should be working with you is to be lazy and not working.
That's right.
You want that person to work too. And so he did not want to go to the work and he left the field. But now Paul is writing to him and he says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee. Notice this, for he is, what's that word?
Profitable
to me for the ministry. So if anybody is writing this with some understanding, Paul is.
Yes, sir, he is.
He says, man, John Mark started out with us and he changed.
He's changed, yeah.
By the way, Christians can change. Did y'all know that?
Yes, they can.
Christians can change. They should be changing more and more to the image of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I've commented on Brother Tony back there. He and I discipled together, and I said, brother, do you realize since May 5th, what was May 5th, brother? Day you got saved. I said, you're not the same person that you were May 5th. I said, you've changed. He said, yeah, pastor, I noticed that, this and this and this. I said, that's right. You're not the same. When we get saved, we change, and we are still changing. And so John Mark left, and Paul said, you know, he's profitable. He's not useless anymore. And so he's writing back to Philemon. He says, hey, wait a minute. He's profitable. You can use him. And now just imagine if you're Philemon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can use him, all right. In the dirt pit.
Yes, sir.
In the hog pit.
Uh-huh.
Hard labor. Yeah, I can use him, all right. The job that I don't want to do. Amen. But Paul said, John Mark, he's profitable to me for the ministry. And so Paul's encouragement was, number one, review him. He's profitable. He was once unprofitable, but now things have changed. Then he says, receive him as a brother. In other words, he said, you know what? Onesimus now can be a blessing to you.
Yeah.
Amen. He can do something that maybe he didn't do before. Amen. Now, by the way, if you have been an Onesimus towards somebody, do you want them to receive you when you change? Yes. Yes.
Yes, you do.
You want people to receive you. You say, but I'm not the same person that I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And what if Onesimus goes back and says, Philemon, I'm not the same person I used to be. And Philemon does this. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. prove it. Prove it. Now, by the way, we do have to have discernment. Just because someone says they have changed, you better test the waters.
That's right, Pastor,
you better make sure. The Bible is clear about deacons. He said, make sure they have been proved first before you give them the office of the deacon. Amen. Test the waters to make sure they can be trusted. Anybody can act like a Christian for a little bit of time. Anybody can say, praise God, amen, hallelujah. Anybody can carry a Bible around. Anybody can show up for soul winning. And anybody can sing in the choir. Anybody can be an usher working. Anybody can do that. But wait a minute. Godly character, you can't mimic godly character. You may be able to try to imitate it for a while, but sooner or later, your character is going to find itself out because of your integrity. So you can't try everybody. Paul said, you know, try the spirit, see whether they're of God. Hey, that goes with Christians as well. If somebody made off with all the church money, then they come back and want to be a member, I'm not going to make them the treasurer.
That's right, Pastor. Amen.
I'm not going to have them ushering right away. That's not wise on my part. Now, should I ban them and bar them forever? For a long time. Because there's more ministries that they can do other than that. But if I know they've got a weakness with that, I've got to make sure I eyeball them to make sure that that weakness has been overcome in Christ. So I'm not going to be so quick to let them handle the money. So we have to be wise. And so I don't think that Paul is saying, well, you know, Philemon, you just need to blind trust. Trust him. You know, I've tested the waters. No, he said, look, you know, get him back in it. Watch him. See what happens. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so he says, review him and receive him as a brother. And then number three, and this is where we're going to finish up today. The restoration of fellowship. The restoration of fellowship. Some things had to happen for fellowship to be restored. The restoration of fellowship. A, based on forgiveness. It's based on forgiveness. And then B, it brought great joy. It brought great joy. So the restoration of fellowship is based on forgiveness, A.
Amen.
And then it brought great joy. And we're going to talk about that. By the way, do you know that when injustice happens, it often breeds division and jealousy? Our children hear oftentimes about Al-Qaeda and all the rest of the Arab nations that have these extremist Islamic people. And it's easy for them to say, hey, they've got a turban on or they have that. They're one of those extremists. And my wife and I say, you can't put that label on everybody. Not everybody's an extremist. Not everybody that wears a turban is an Arab out to bomb somebody. Not everybody is that way. And so the restoration of fellowship, when an injustice like that happens, when the Twin Towers got bombed, we were quick to just ban them all. Donald Trump says if he has his way, no Islamic people are going to get into America, period. But, you know, the amount of extremists are very small. Now, their numbers are growing in regards to the non-extremists. Now, I'm not saying I agree with everything that the Islamic folks should do. But the amount of extremists are small compared to the non-extremists in the Muslim faith. But their numbers are growing, and there are a lot of copycats. And so when an injustice happens, the fellowship has to be restored. And injustice often can breed a division and a jealousy. You have the haves and the have-nots. You have the Arabs and the Arab-nots and all that. And we as Christians have to take a very Christ-like approach to this. Now, I'm not saying be without discernment and be without wisdom. But the restoration of fellowship takes some things here and is going to be based on forgiveness. By the way, our job is to be peacemakers. Go over to Matthew chapter number 6. It's one of the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter number 6. By the way, just being, Matthew chapter number 5. Being a peacemaker sometimes will bring about disunity for Christ, because some folks don't want Christ.
That's right, Pastor.
Matthew chapter number 5. And notice what he says down here with the kingdom living attitude we ought to have. Number 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. 7, blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. 9, blessed are the what? Peacemakers. They shall be called what? Children of God. Those that are trying to usher in and bring peace. Now, there's not going to be ultimate peace until the Prince of Peace is here.
Amen.
But we can still be peaceable.
Yes.
We can be peaceable. You don't have to argue with everybody. You don't have to get your way with everybody. You don't have to go around grumpy like this. Well, you're not saved, so I don't like you. You're not a Christian, so I can't do anything with you. Well, then you might as well quit your job. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But we don't want to do that, though, do we? You know, we don't quit the job. But everybody's not saved. And so you might as well not go to grocery store. Grocery store people aren't saved. You might as well not go to Walmart. Sign off Walmart.
Yep.
Can't go there anymore.
Pastor?
You might as well spend your life at Chick-fil-A and what's that bookstore down there? That's Christian owned down on Broadway and Hobby Lobby. Spend your life at Hobby Lobby, go to Chick-fil-A, and go to In-N-Out Burger. I'm sure some of y'all are like, In-N-Out Burger, yeah, that's it. You might as well just go there because the rest of them don't have a saved lineage, amen? And so we'd be out there. But he says, be peacemakers, blessed are the peacemakers. So if I'm going to restore fellowship, I've got to be like a child of God. I've got to be like a peacemaker to restore fellowship. And by the way, it could be that someone has wronged me or I have wronged someone else. If I've wronged somebody, what should I do? Apologize. I should seek to restore the fellowship.
That's right.
If someone has wronged me, what should they do?
Apologize.
If they're a Christian, what should they do if they wrong me? They should do the same. They should seek to restore the fellowship with me. So if someone's done wrong to us, we should take the initiative and try to restore the relationship. If we've been treated wrong, amen, they should treat us right or try to seek us. If they don't seek us, what should we do? We should pray for them. We should forgive them anyway. We should try to seek out them and make amends and say, hey, let's talk. What happened?
Yeah.
What went wrong?
Let's talk.
What happened to mess up the fellowship that we once enjoyed? If Christ is in you and Christ is in me, what happened? Now, if I wrong them, I should go to them.
Yes.
But if they wrong me, they should come to me. But if they don't come to me, I should say, hey, what happened?
Yep.
What happened? Now, can I make them get right with me? No.
No,
I can't. Could Paul make Philemon get right with Onesimus and Onesimus get right with Philemon? He couldn't do it. He can do it. But the restoration of fellowship, if we treated someone unjustly, it's our job to seek them out and make amends. If they've done it to us, either way, something should happen. All right. Now, by the way, give you a couple scriptures here. Go over to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Did Jesus continue to extend grace and forgiveness to the religious leaders who opposed him, the Pharisees, the Sadducees? He continued to try to extend grace to them. He told them that it's there for them, but their job was to receive it. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. Paul here writing to the church at Ephesus. He says in verse number 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of your vocation, wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another, putting up with one another in love. Notice verse 3, endeavoring to keep the what? Unity of the Spirit in the bond of what? Peace. There's one Holy Spirit. Notice what Paul says. There's one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So as a result, Paul says there should be some peace and some unity in the brethren. Now, how can I have that if the brethren has done me an injustice? Easy. Seek him out or he seek me out and let's talk about it and cover it under the blood.
Yep.
Amen. Show you another one here, Romans chapter number 12. Is everybody easy to live with?
No.
Is everybody easy to get along with? are there some people that are just downright ornery?
Yeah.
Are there some people just wake up on the wrong side of the bed every day?
Oh, yeah.
There's some people that just like that. I mean, some people just have a negative attitude. They are pessimists. The glass is half empty instead of half full.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you're honest, I'm speaking to some of you that are pessimistic. You give people not the benefit of the doubt. You see what's wrong with them first.
Mm-hmm.
I'm skeptical of you.
Mm.
I've seen your type before. And you better prove it to me first. And there are others in here that are optimists. You think, oh, everybody's just so good and so trustworthy and so lovely. I love everybody while they're reaching in your back pocket. And so there are some optimists here. You see the good in people. And there are others that are pessimists. They see the bad in people. They see the bad in life. They see all the bad that happens. And notice what Paul says here in Romans chapter number 12. And let's go pick it up in verse 17. Dealing with using your spiritual gifts up there in verses 1 through 7. Or 8, I should say. Then he talked about how you ought to relate to people in general in verses 9 down through 17. But notice what he says. Recompense no man what? Evil for evil. Did Onesimus do Philemon wrong? Yes. So what should Philemon do? Not evil for evil. He says, recompense no man evil. Provide things honest in sight of all men. Be possible as much as life in you. Live peaceably with how many men? But notice how Paul prefaces that. If it be what? Possible.
Possible.
Do you know there's some people that it's just not possible to be peaceful with?
Yeah, you bet. You bet about that, Pastor.
There's some mean, ornery people out there.
Yeah, there is.
I mean, I'm one of the easiest going guys that I know. Now, I've got my ways. I've got my quirks like you all do. But I'm pretty tranquil. I can, you know, kind of get along with anybody, kind of blend in there, you know. But there's just some people that I rubbed them the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
You're too calm. You're just too easygoing. Why don't you be a little bit more aggressive like me? Because I'm not you.
Yeah,
and you have enough aggression for both of us. But there's some people that I just can't get along with because, for whatever the reason may be. It's in their character. Maybe it's in my character. But Paul says, you know, not everybody's going to be able to do this. But he says, if possible, as much as life in you, live peacefully with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. So should Philemon seek revenge on Onesimus? Now you think about it, he's a slave, he doesn't have much. Avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is whose? Mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. So should he starve Onesimus out when he comes back? Give him bread and water. No. If thine enemy hunger, by the way, he's supposed to be a brother now anyway.
Yep.
He's not an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of what? Evil. But overcome evil with what? Good. So when you look at this, the restoration of fellowship, I've got to be the one then to take the brunt of it, if it's been done to me, and extend grace. So we see it's going to be based on forgiveness. Restoration is predicated on forgiveness for the injustice that has been done. Go back to Philemon. And notice verse number 17 and 18 in Philemon. Now, by the way, this is Paul speaking in Philemon 17. Who's got Philemon 17 and 18? Read that for me real quick. Who's got it? Well, as I get my pages coming out. You got it, Brother Duffy? Anybody got that yet? Philemon 17? I got to treat my pages gingerly because my Philemon is coming out. 17 and 18. Go ahead, Ms. Dawson. Oh, you got it now? Okay, go ahead, brother. Paul says, you know what? This is going to be based on forgiveness, but let me make it easier for you. I'll pay for it.
Amen.
I'll pay for it. You ever had your children at a dispute and the one child has wronged the other child? The parent steps in and says, here, take my piece of chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Or here, take my piece of chewing gum. And they knocked down my soda. Here, take my soda.
Oh my goodness.
And what does the other child do oftentimes? Drink the soda and look at the other child still like this. and they still have an issue.
Yes, sir, they do, Pastor.
Now, it's not good enough that they've gotten whatever it was they spilled on the ground. Their ice cream got spilled on the floor or whatever. And it's not good enough that they got the ice cream. Now they still look at the other one, but it's your fault. Paul says, hey, wait a minute now. If he wronged thee, put that on my account.
Yep.
Wait a minute. Who got our account?
The
Jesus.
Did.
And what does Jesus tell you and I? Forgive and love.
Forgive.
And what do we often do? Just like the children. Well, I got my forgiveness, but you're the one that kicked me. Wait a minute. We can't have a double standard. But oftentimes that's what we do. Paul said, if thou count me a partner, he said, receive him just like me. So in other words, receiving him is like receiving me.
Right.
He said, if he did some wrong, he owe you anything. He said, put it on my account. I'll pay for it. Simple as that. By the way, Paul was asking for full and complete forgiveness for what Onesimus had done from Philemon. Because God forgives you and I for what we have done for Jesus' sake.
Yep.
How many of y'all ever had this happen? Little Johnny and little Sue get into a spat. And you say, now say you're sorry. And what kind of response, Lomi, do they give? Johnny and Sue, what kind of response? Sorry.
Sorry.
Well, you're really sorry.
Yeah, right.
Now you got, say you're sorry. Sorry. Are they really sorry? How many of y'all got saved like that? Came to the Lord, sorry. If you came to the Lord that way, you're probably still not saved.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
But we didn't come to the Lord saying, sorry.
Sorry.
No, we were broken.
Yeah, we were.
We were broken for our sin. We felt bad about our sin. Paul cannot make Philemon forgive him.
Right.
But he can pay the debt. He said it's on his account. By the way, Jesus paid your debt. But he cannot make you love somebody else. Now he gives you the ability.
Mm-hmm.
He can't make you forgive someone else. He gives you the ability, but he can't make you do it. Paul cannot make him do anything here when it comes to Philemon. Let me hear what it says in the book. Paul had the authority as an apostle and could have demanded Philemon to forgive Onesimus. Instead, he asked Philemon to forgive because true forgiveness cannot be mandated. It must come from the heart. True change cannot be brought about in such a fashion. It must come from the Holy Spirit convicting and working in the heart. In order for Philemon to forgive Onesimus, what did he need to recall? In order for Philemon to forgive Onesimus, who was in the wrong, what did Philemon have to recall? Rose? How he was a sinner. What did Jesus do for him? Forgave him. In order for you and I to adequately forgive someone, we have to say, God forgave me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't think about that, you will be justified in what you do.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
You will be justified in your own eyes. I'm right to be that way because they did me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm right to be that way. So that means God is right to be that way towards you? No. And so for Philemon to adequately forgive Onesimus, he had to remember that he was forgiven.
Yep.
Forgiveness is based on imputation. So what Paul told Philemon, he said, put that on my account. That's a picture of what Jesus did for you and I. He took the weight and the penalty of our sin and placed it on himself. And because God has forgiven us, we should and can forgive others their injustices towards us. Go to Matthew 18 and verse 32. This is the illustration of Jesus telling us about forgiveness. Matthew 18 and verse 32. Matthew 18, 32. Who's there? Matthew 18. Tasha, you there? Matthew 18, verse 32. Read that for me. Now, Now, what happened? The one was forgiven, and he went out and found someone else that owed him and wouldn't forgive them. And the Lord said, "You wicked." Read verse 33, Tasha. And so what Paul is telling Philemon, he said, did you not get forgiveness? Then you've got to forgive Onesimus. You got to forgive him. If somebody's treated us unjustly, we have to forgive them. You say, preacher, I don't have to. Yes, you do.
Yes, you do. Yes,
your forgiveness from God is predicated on you forgiving others.
Yes, sir.
Notice verse 34. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your where? Hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. God says, look, if you don't forgive, you're not going to get any forgiveness. And so it behooved Philemon to forgive Onesimus. And what happened as a result? Amen. By the way, it says this. On the basis of God's forgiveness extended to you, do whatever you can to restore the relationship or the fellowship. You may not be able to change their attitude or behavior towards you, but you can free yourself from the bondage of bitterness by forgiving them. Amen.
Amen.
You don't have to walk around. Now, what if Onesimus came back and said, well, Paul made me come back, but I resent being a slave in the first place. And so, Now, could Philemon do anything with that? He's like, look, hey, all right, that's on you.
Yep.
But I can't. But I'm free from the bitterness and the bondage that I had towards you because God's forgiven me. So there's nothing he can do with that. But the relationship didn't end that way. It brought great joy. By the way, notice verse number 20 in Philemon.
20.
Philemon 20 as we close this out here. Philemon 20, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Philemon 20. And he says this, because you can't make someone forgive you. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Paul said, I can have great joy knowing that you're not going to just do it. You're going to do even more. So there's great joy in reconciliation. Webster's Dictionary defines reconciliation as a return to harmony or to make compatible. It's the act of causing two people or groups to become friendly again after an argument, disagreement, or betrayal. That is the true grace of God. As a result, go over to Colossians 4:9 and show you the result of this relationship. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 9. Colossians 4:9. And of course, this is Paul writing to the church at Colossae. Fred, you got Colossians 4:9? Like, amen. And notice who he says in that the second word. Was that with who? With Onesimus. And what did he say about Onesimus? A faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. Now, would that have been the same way if he had not A, gotten saved, and B, gone back to Philemon? Probably not. But because he gone back to Philemon, he's in the inner circle now of Christian brethren. And he's got a good report now. Now, by the way, let me warn you. Not all situations are going to work out this way.
That's right, Pastor.
Not all situations. If somebody leaves and does wrong to this party and gets saved, sometimes they never come back.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen, Pastor.
Hey, I know when God saved me, I went back to a lot of people that I wronged. Mm-hmm. And I said, look, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But ironically, a whole lot of people didn't come back to me when they got saved. A lot of people didn't come back to me when they wronged me.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I sought them out to try to get right with them.
Right,
and that's the way it ought to happen. Why? I want to be right with God. I want to be right. I don't want the black cloud hanging over me.
Amen.
Of rain and despair like the dirty guy on Charlie Brown. I don't want that.
I don't want it either, Pastor.
I want the sunshine.
Yes.
Literally, I want the sun's shine on me. And so not all situations are going to work out that way. And some people may not be in forgiving. They may not want your reconciliation. They may not want restoration. But if they do, it's going to come from the Holy Spirit convicting and working in their hearts if they do. Why did I do what I did? The Holy Spirit convicted in my heart, and he worked on me and said, you need to go back to these people, and you need to get right with them, and you need to tell them you're sorry for what you did to them. Hey, there's going to be some people in your life that are going to be Onesimuses. You may be an Onesimus. If you want God's reconciliation and God's forgiveness, then you've got to give it. So Paul said, you know what? Restore the fellowship. And it's going to be based on forgiveness. And it's going to bring you great joy. Our memory verse for next week is going to be Matthew 18:35, which we just read that. A portion of that, Matthew 18:35. He says, if you from your heart forgive not, you're in trouble. And what I want you to do is search your heart. Say, Lord, are there some Onesimus in my life that I haven't forgiven? Are there some people that have done me an injustice that I have not gotten right with? Then you need to pray that God would help you to forgive them first. And then if God may have you go to them, go to them. He may not have you go to them, but he might. But you've got to pray first and say, Lord, is there an Onesimus in my life? Amen. Or have I been an Onesimus to someone? Then perhaps I need to go to somebody and get that right. Or perhaps if they don't come to me, I need to go to them. Or perhaps I just need to forgive them in my heart. Paul said, put it on my account. Jesus has already put all your injustices on his account. Now he's asking you to take an injustice as well and forgive. Matthew 18:35. Father, thank you for the example in Onesimus and Philemon's life. Thank you that now Onesimus could be faithful. He could be an example. He could be a witness and a testimony. The Bible gives a report of him. He was a faithful and a beloved brother. Lord, that would not have been had he not done things right. I pray that you would help us, Lord, if we've been an Onesimus or if we have been an Onesimus to someone else and done them an injustice, help us to forgive in our hearts and to get things right and restore fellowship and relationships. Work in us over the next week, Lord, that we may do that which is pleasing, extending grace and forgiveness to people. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.